So Josh, whenever you're ready, let us know. Because we got our scary countdown clock to.
Okay. I prefer clocks. It makes it easier that way.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank everyone for coming here. I think the crowd has filled out a little bit more since I was in here earlier. I also want to thank the vacancy committee. As I've said before, their job's not easy, and all of you for coming and participating in local government, which is incredibly important. I want to cover three things tonight. So my background, sort of where I came from, my qualifications for this position, and my vision for the future of Story County. That background, and I've spoken on it quite a bit, I won't go into it in great detail because we don't have a lot of time, but if you're interested in it, it's on YouTube. You can watch my speech from the last Democratic convention. I grew up in a pretty poor working class house, and my father was not always around. He was an alcoholic and drug addict, and in later years deceased. You know, I had a lot of rough examples of how to not succeed at life. And I ended up a very young parent and married before going to college, and decided for myself at that point when I had children that I didn't really want that kind of future for my kids. So I went back to school, worked full-time while going to college full-time, worked as many hours as you're allowed to work and go to law school. In order to improve that future for my kids, and I think in large part I've achieved that goal that I set out for, which leads me into my qualifications. The law degree is nice, but that's not necessarily a qualification as far as I'm concerned. It has to do more with what you've learned and how you apply it. And I went to law school because I wanted to do employment law and deal with human resources and those kind of things. So there aren't a lot of classes in law school that teach you how to be an HR manager. There's one, I think, employment class. You could take civil rights if you want, some tax classes, and that's about it. But what I learned was how to deal with people. And during law school, I was involved in a lot of activities. I was on the Student Bar Association, which is a student government, but it's actually a pretty high responsibility student government. They run all the student activity fees for the law school and are responsible for a lot of things there. I was on the honor board there, where we were responsible for adjudicating whether or not people got thrown out of school for things like plagiarism, which definitely came up a number of times. And helped found a couple of organizations and served as treasurer for a number of organizations. And throughout all those activities, I learned what it's like to sit on a board and deal with your peers in a way that is both professional but also accomplishes your goals. And it's not always easy. I know these guys, as well as the supervisors who are in the room, will probably agree with me that it's not always easy in a public format with people watching, some of those people who have a stake in things, to tell them that you disagree with them or to take a stand on an issue. But that's something that I learned in law school, and it's translated well to my career in HR. I think I round out the board in ways that a lot of the other candidates are not able to do because of that background. My expertise is in managing people, managing organizations, and, you know, setting the strategy for organizations of people, which at its core, Story County is. My vision for the future of Story County really involves making it a better place for everyone to live, including everyone in our decisions, and developing the county in a way that's good for the outer county, where I'm originally from but no longer live, as well as Ames, including the students, including low-income people, retired people, people with disabilities. Those are things that I think don't always get addressed, and I think we can do better in that regard. The way we do that is by developing our workforce, improving transit, improving affordable housing, dealing with the incredible shortage of childcare that we have in the county. And there are a lot of things that we can do as a board of supervisors to help advance that, which in 2 minutes I can't really go into. But and then additionally, help with our protect our natural resources, but at the same time do that without hurting our family farms, which are the backbone of a rural county like this. It's important to note that farmers drink the water first, right? A lot of farmers have wells and they're right next to their fields. So if you're getting it, they're getting it. And they've probably been getting it longer than you have. So I think there are farmers out here that care about the environment as well. Beyond that, I think I would just say that there are, a number of things I would be happy to discuss. I'm sure you have a number of questions for me. I was a little bit surprised last time when the law enforcement comments thing came out from Ms. Torresol, Lisa's treasurer. The comments that I made came out, in the Juvenile Justice Forum many months ago, middle of last campaign, in front of a lot of people in the law enforcement community. I called the sheriff that night, talked to the sheriff. I called Commander Huff with the Ames Police Department, talked to Commander Huff, who is an old acquaintance of mine, and, kind of reached an agreement that it wasn't a giant deal to most people. And in fact, members of the public had come up to me after that event and said, I kind of appreciated what you said because of where you came from at the moment you said it. But if you're interested in that, I'm happy to discuss that in greater detail, and as well as any of my plans, background, or et cetera.
So a quick follow-up question, because it came up earlier with our developing our workforce. Give an example of how you think that you can help develop a better workforce, or an action the Board of Supervisors can take to develop that workforce or improve transit, improve those
sure.
types of things. What action do you think you guys
sure.
could take
well,
as a supervisor?
So my plan for the countywide development of the workforce involves a number of sort of pillars, right? The first one is improving transit so that people can get between towns and more efficiently who, maybe don't have reliable transportation. I started my campaign on a story from a friend of mine who works at Legal Aid across the street of a family that was stranded in Nevada for about 8 hours because their bus, their Herta bus, hadn't come and gotten them from their legal appointment. It was a half-hour legal appointment. They're there for 8 hours. And as I delved into that, I learned that my own cousin, who is disabled and lives in Ames, had been stranded at work 3 or 4 times, which tells me that our transit system's not working for the people of Story County. Now, I'm not saying we need to scrap Herta. I think Herta has a great mission, and I think we'll would do better partnering with Herta in a stronger way. I know they've recently got some new buses, but just last year there were layoffs. The amount of money we spend on Herta in this county is actually remarkably small compared to the amount of money we spend on lots of projects that provide far less benefit to far fewer people. So that's one way that we develop the workforce, is make it easier for people to get to work. Another way would be make it easier for people to make the choice to go to work, and the way we do that is through child care. Every child care provider I know of in Story County has a waiting list, and in my role as an HR service provider, I've had situations where employees have had to take a leave of absence after a new baby, not to recover from the baby, the baby's birth or bond with the child or anything like that, long leaves of absence of 6-8 months because they were not able to find reliable child care at a price they could afford. So encouraging child care growth in Story County would be a big priority for me. There are a number of ways we can also improve affordable housing. which if we can improve the cost of housing in Story County, we stand a greater chance of keeping some of the amazing professionals that Iowa State University is turning out. I just heard a story in the room over there from Lynn about an engineer that went to work at Hormel, and before he could even start, somebody had doubled his salary and moved him on. No longer in Story County. You know, in order to be competitive in the workforce, we have to be competitive as a county to live in. You can't run a business without your workforce. I would also like to see further investment in returning people to the workforce from incarceration, programs for mental health and substance abuse, which help get people to work. The vast majority of people that I found that have attendance problems at work, primarily it's drugs and alcohol that are driving those attendance problems, and if not drugs and alcohol, childcare or transportation. Those are the basics of it. You know, obviously this is a three-person board. There are a lot of other interests involved in these kind of things. A lot of these plans have been talked about at a number of forums and things like that. But if you have specific questions about them, I'm more than happy to address those.
So you got into what's typically been my first question there. As a supervisor, how should and how would you interact with other elected officials? That includes the three of us, the sheriff, attorney, and your fellow two supervisors. And then how would you interact with the department heads across the county?
Sure. You know, fortunately, I have the ability to say that over the course of the campaign, I feel like I've developed a pretty good rapport with Loris, Linda, you, Ted, you, Lucy, you know, just in the ability from working with you. That doesn't necessarily change when I'm working with someone in a non-campaign setting. As an HR consultant, I've worked with hundreds of CEOs from all walks of life, all around the country. I serve on three boards of directors currently. And, you know, those interactions sort of guide my philosophy of dealing with people in a professional manner and in a sensitive manner and trying to, you know, build consensus. I like to say that in politics and also in other fields, there sometimes aren't a lot of right answers. There are only answers that are better for some people, and hopefully you're getting ones that are better for most people. So, you know, if somebody's opinion is different than mine on something, I don't necessarily take that to disagreement with the person. It's a more of a matter of we have a difference of opinion. I believe everyone who's an elected official or department head here is, you know, their heart is in the right place. They're doing what they believe is the best thing for Story County. It may not be what I would do, but it's what they believe is the best thing for Story County. And, you know, I approach everything from that standpoint. You know, some people have asked me before the election what would happen if I had to, you know, if I had won and it had been, say, Rick Sanders and myself, because we had had a number of disagreements at forums. And to those people, I said, you know, after every single forum, Rick and I shook hands, joked. I don't have any problem with Rick Sanders. I ran into him in the elevator the other day and congratulated him for his new position and told him, you know, I really think you were a good choice for this position. I know you've done a lot with the research park, and I think you're well qualified for it. You know, being nice to people and understanding that people have reasons for the things that they do is important. I would say that I've had at least one interaction with every elected official in Ames and or in Story County and in Ames, frankly. And I think that I don't think I've really had any negative interactions.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, my question is, do you feel that the Story County employees are an asset to Story County, and how do you plan to show your commitment to these employees and provide an example of something you've done in order to improve morale in another work setting?
Sure. I think that the employees at the county are really the county's primary asset. An organization like a county government really is its employees. You know, it's not the parks that we own or, you know, those kinds of things. Those are great, but without the employees, they wouldn't be great. I mean, we see how much Hickory Grove requires, you know, maintenance, or they dredge it. They do all kinds of things there. It'd be littered with trash if we didn't have people that went out there. It'd be overgrown if we didn't have groundskeepers. Those people are what makes the county. From, you know, the people out in the field doing grounds work or roads or those kinds of things, to the people in the auditor's office who are helping people register to vote or dealing with real estate transactions, you know, all that stuff. And they can make or break your experience when doing business with the county. I'm sure everyone in up there has had an interaction with somebody, even Ted, who hasn't been here very long but has to ask for money, with someone who walked in thinking they were not going to have a very good time with what they needed. And, you know, the employees of the county are the people who are responsible for making sure that they have the best time that they can have doing it. You know, paying your taxes or what have you is not necessarily an enjoyable situation for everybody, but it doesn't have to be pain. As far as morale goes, you know, I think I sort of subscribe to the philosophy of the minute manager, where if you just talk to people, understand where they're coming from, build a relationship with them, then they'll have trust in you and can come to you with problems. I try to, when I'm managing people, and I've managed teams of between, well, I've managed very small teams all the way up to, say, 50 at a time, direct reports. And the way to deal with morale is not to throw a pizza party or, you know, give people a small gift. The way to increase morale is to be there for your employees when they need you, to own problems when they're yours to own. And if they're not yours to own, sometimes you need to own them anyway. That's how you really build morale in an organization.
Okay, thank you.
If you're appointed to the board, how will that change both your professional and personal life?
Professional life, I would say it won't change things that much. I'm currently on an appointment at Iowa State. It's called, considered an emergency appointment. It's a project-based appointment with a term, and the project has largely been accomplished, and I'm able to transition out of that without any problems. Mm-hmm. Other than that, the boards of directors that I sit on, I don't believe would be any issue. Only one of them receives any money from Story County, and that's Story County Legal Aid Society. I looked at the code last week sometime, and it specifically says members of the boards of supervisors may sit on the boards of any organization receiving money from the county. So I think that's also in the clear. Personally, I'm not sure it will change a lot, because I've been running for this position for the last year and a half. The interactions I have with people these days are very much the interactions I would have with people, you know, as a member of the Board of Supervisors. Now, that's not to say that it was necessarily always that way, but the interactions I have with people today are that way. We're currently doing orientation at Iowa State University, and I have nothing to do with orientation. But I'd say I help a dozen or more families a day find where they're going, just because I work there, I'm on foot, they've never been to Iowa State before, and they look lost. I don't think that changes as a supervisor. In fact, I think you only do that more because you want to hear from those people. Otherwise, you're just making decisions for yourself, right?
As a supervisor, you have to represent the whole county, the people in the smallest community, the people in the largest community. How would you conduct county outreach so that you could be available to the folks in the county and get input and feedback from mm-hmm. everyone in the county?
Yeah. So Rick Sanders actually told me at one point after a forum that he tries to go to the different, or at the time he tried to go to the different towns, you know, on sort of a regular rotation. And I think that's a great idea. Not all of them really lend themselves to that. You can't necessarily go have, you know, dinner or what have you in every different kind of town, but some of them do lend themselves to that. And I know people, I think, in most of the towns around the county, being originally from Nevada here, and my family being from Nevada, I know a lot of people in Nevada. Having gone to high school in Huxley at Ballard, I know tons of people from Cambridge and Slater and Kelly and Huxley. You know, so I know people from all around the county, and I believe that the way to keep outreach is to be in the community. You know, go to meetings you don't necessarily have to go to. If it's a, you know, if you're able to on your schedule, go to a city council meeting for a town just to find out what, you know, what those people that go to the city council meeting, why did they go to that city council meeting? It's probably two people in a small town that go to a city council meeting, but they're there for a reason, right? I want to know those reasons. So, you know, that's kind of my philosophy behind it.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Can you describe a stressful situation in a previous job and what you did to create a positive outcome?
There are lots of them, I'm sure. So being in HR, I deal with a lot of stressful situations all the time. You know, one of the more stressful situations that I dealt with on a fairly recent matter was a children's sports team. And the director of this nonprofit children's sports team had contacted me to say that he thought that one of his coaches was using drugs. We didn't have a drug testing policy, so there's no way we can test this employee for drugs. We just had to kind of go by what was going on in the community and what they were doing. So we did an investigation and found that, yeah, he probably was using drugs, and parents were concerned, and he needed to be gone. The issue there was this is a very talented coach, been there for a long time. He's actually the best friend of the director, and it had, in fact, been in the best man for the director's wedding just 6 months prior, and had gone through a bad breakup and sort of gone down this path of drug use. And, you know, typically, as a third-party consultant in HR, I would not make any employment decisions or take any employment actions on an employee because I'm not the employer. It's the client of mine who's the employer. But knowing that was going to be an emotional meeting, as, you know, two 40-something men had to part ways over something that's, you know, arguably not anybody's fault, it was difficult to do that. So I walked through that situation a number of times with the director, told him exactly what he needed to do, what I could do. And in the end, you know, I told him, really, all you have to do is let me do the lead up. I'll turn to you. And you just have to say, we just can't keep you anymore. And then I'll take it from there. And so that's how we did it. And there were tears all around. It was a very emotional and bad situation at the beginning, but you know, I actually got an email some months later from that employee saying that the way we handled it was gentle on him, and he got some treatment, and was hoping that he could at some point come back to coaching after, you know, the kids had turned over a little bit and nobody remembered who he was. And it, you know, I think it's a good situation for him from a whole life perspective.
This is where it's my turn, but I think it's Ted's turn.
Nope, it is your turn.
The Board of Supervisors has many responsibilities, but if appointed, what would you be most comfortable with right away, and what would have the steepest learning curve?
Most comfortable, I'd have to say, personnel decisions, obviously. But I know that the Board of Supervisors approves a lot of personnel decisions. I imagine most of those come with recommendations from department heads, and probably the majority of the time the board takes those recommendations. Those aspects I'm very comfortable with dealing with. Same with compensation. There's a compensation committee that provides a recommendation. The board votes on it. I teach compensation at Grandview University on a part-time basis, so I'm pretty comfortable with that. You know, the hardest thing, steepest learning curve, I think would just be, you know, I know there are a lot of sort of ancillary boards that members of the board are responsible for being on and attending. I'm very comfortable in board meetings. It would take some time to understand the full picture of what each of those boards does, you know, who the people are, what's going on, because you're kind of picking up at a time period where it wasn't expected that there would be a transition necessarily. I think that's the part that would be the steepest learning curve, is just getting my bearings in each of those different boards. But I've been on a lot of boards in my day. So.
Okay, I've been telling everybody this is the easiest question. So what is your favorite thing about Story County?
That is not at all an easy question. You know that, right?
Lucy said we're going to have to answer it at the end of the night.
Oh, yeah. We I think we'll all answer that when you're all back in here.
You know, it's the diverse backgrounds of the people, right? Just even the room that I'm in back there, we have a pretty diverse group of people from age groups, you know, family backgrounds, educationally, career-wise. We have farmers all over Story County. We have small-town people who are very much ingrained in the activities of their town, and that sort of thing. We have people from other countries who are at Iowa State, maybe for a few years, maybe for a career. It's that diversity of people that I think makes Story County a really interesting place to live and work, and gives it a culture, sort of a microculture, that's not like anywhere else. Usually places with this level of diversity of lifestyles and people are much busier, bigger places, where a lot of that gets lost in the mix. But here in Story County, you actually get to know those people and interact with them, and I really like that.
You're finished. So last question. What do you think is the Board of Supervisors' role in dealing with climate change and extreme weather?
That's a great question. Came up a few times in forums last year, and we talked about it quite a bit, I think. I would point to a disagreement I have with former Supervisor Rick Sanders, who thought that we had done a lot towards climate change. And perhaps I shouldn't say disagree with him. We have done a lot of things to deal with climate change. I think we have a lot more we can do. The county has replaced a lot of lights with low-energy lighting. I assume these are probably low-energy lights here. They look like it. And those kinds of things. I think we take it a step further and use the power of our budget to get other organizations on board with environmental initiatives. And what I mean by that is not force people to do things, because that's the antithesis of what I am about. What I mean is you can receive this grant money or this project or what have you, but here is a list of guidelines that we'd like to see as far as environmental guidelines. So for instance, if it's an affordable housing initiative, and money will go, in any housing initiative, somewhere down the line money goes to a developer. Well, I'd like to see that the housing units that are being built are implementing some level of green standards. Not saying every project we do has to be, LEED Platinum certified or anything like that. But I think we can take steps to make sure that we're doing more. And the way we do that primarily is just by putting stipulations on some of those projects.
Do you have any questions for us?
In the last year and a half, I think I've had every question I could possibly ask answered. So I don't think so.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Josh. You needed a tripod, Robbie. You could have set up, left the camera there, and had the exact same angle.
Or he just needs a photographer. They don't
have one.
They're
calling your name.
I'm sure they're paying Robbie for being a reporter and photographer, right?
Right.
Okay.
We're sitting.
No, we have these comfortable chairs.
I did want to ask how the cribbage game was going back there.
We already voted.
No, I don't think
so. All right. Just let us know when you're ready, Lynn, and we'll get started.
Okay. Anytime.
Okay.
My name is Lynn Lathrop, and I've lived in Nevada for the past 10 years. During this time, I've been active with the city and county, either as a mayor or the chair of the Story County Veterans Affairs. Planning and zoning, I was a chair there also. As part of the Story County emergency management team, the mayors and fire chiefs and police departments would meet there about once a month. And after the meeting, I would sit with the mayors, and they would go over issues that they had that wasn't part of the emergency management team. And I have a Clearwater and a wastewater background, and I was able to help a couple of them with some sewer lines and stuff like that in their town. So I've run 10 engineering. I've run 10 engineering and maintenance departments in 8 states. And in one of the projects, I had a $60 million project. So I not only managed the budget, but I completed the projects also. I continued my education. I was mayor here for a while, and I needed to get up on some of the issues that the city had and county. So I was I went in and become a CEMO, which is a certified elected municipal official, and also an MLA, which is a leadership academy put on by the League of Cities. With this group and with the training that I got there, they covered a lot of clear water, stormwater, sewer systems, watersheds, runoff, field drainage, septics, and it just goes on and on. So, and then they did cover some of the labor issues that we have, not only in the cities, but in rural areas. areas too. So, and then after 40 years or 44 years, I retired, and the last facility I had was the Burke facility here, and now they're under construction, and they're looking at about 200 plus people there. So labor is a big deal. It's not only here, it's in the county. And I don't have an answer for you on that. I mean, there's a lot of people that are working on it. The League of Cities have done a lot of initiatives and have got some pilot plants going right now in certain areas of the state. They say they're successful. I don't know. I've not talked to the people that are running it. And so I just close by saying that I'm married. I've been married 48 years. My wife, Christine. We have two children, Anthony and Teresa. Ex-Marine. I was in Vietnam. And I had a tour in Vietnam and one in Hawaii. So I'm a member of the American Legion, Vietnam Veterans of America, disabled American veterans in the 48. So I try to stay active. Plus, I'm on an ad hoc team with the city of Nevada, so I keep my hands in there too. So I give you a lot of information on the front end, and I don't have a whole lot to add to what you have and what you've seen. So welcome any questions you have.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Lynn.
You bet.
I've been hitting lead off, so I'll go with the first question. How would you as a supervisor look to interact with the other elected officials, the three of us, the sheriff and attorney, and the other supervisors? And then how would you look to interact with the department heads across the county?
Well, right off the bat, you think you know what you're doing. And being mayor, I thought I knew enough by sitting in the audience for 6 years and taking notes that I knew what they were doing. So that's why I run for mayor. And they found out that I didn't know so much. They handed me two binders and said, this is all you need to know about rules and regulations here in the town. So that's how I got my training. You need to watch. You need to talk with the folks, be respectful, see what their needs are. What you can do to help them, or they're struggling. Maybe it's something that you're good at or familiar with or know a resource that can help them. But right off the bat, you kick the door open and you say, I'm the boss, that's not a good thing. So, did I answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm next.
Okay.
So do you feel that the Story County employees are an asset to Story County? And how do you plan to show your commitment to these employees? Provide an example of something you've done in order to improve morale in another work setting.
Oh, well, they're definitely an asset. I mean, you guys do a lot here. It's amazing. From the outside, you think that maybe there's not so much going on in there. But if you get involved with some of the departments here, you see what they do, what they take care of, and what you expect them to take care of, it's a big deal. It's not a joke. It's a full-time job, and usually some of the residents are real happy with you from time to time. I've been in those rooms when they've had 200 people on your head, so it's a thankless job, but I think you guys do a great job. And part two to that question, it was?
Was provide an example of something you've done in order to improve morale in another work setting.
Oh. Well, I started with Colonial Baking Company in Cedar Rapids, which is no longer there, and neither is the Colonial plant in Des Moines. But that was in 1975. But I've always found that if you could lead by example, that's always best. I would never tell somebody that I could do something or I couldn't do something. I wouldn't do something that they were assigned to do. So usually I work beside them. I'm hands-on. I've always been that way. And if they see you there in the middle of it, putting out the fire, then you'll have that partnership you're looking for in a department. So, okay.
If you are appointed to the Board of Supervisors, What will that change in your life, both professionally and personally?
Well, it'll be an exciting direction. Until I was almost ready to retire, I was so busy, I had nothing, I couldn't do anything else. I was on call 24/7. So when I got to the point where I could retire, I looked at running for the mayor's office, and they want me to be in planning and zoning and all that kind of stuff. So I'm retired now. My time's my own. I say that with 5 or 6 service groups that I'm involved in. Mm-hmm. But I think it will be an exciting, different part, and I think it would be a great opportunity. Really. You got some strong people here that know what they're doing. Our supervisors that are sitting there now are very good, so I think it'll be a great opportunity.
As a supervisor, you would be asked to represent people all over the county, mm-hmm. the big communities, the small communities, young and old. How would you do outreach so that you could get feedback, get information from people all across the county and all different types of people?
I always said I'm not hard to find. I could meet with wherever they wanted to meet. I mean, Story County is not that huge that you can't get around. I know there's a lot of towns, a lot of mayors, a lot of different problems, a lot of rural areas, over 700 miles of gravel road, so you're going to be up and down that a lot, and I don't have a problem going out. You should be able to go out or have them come in, whatever is easy for them. You know, if they got a problem, you need to get out there and find out what's going on.
Okay, my second question. Can you describe a stressful situation in a previous job and what you did to create a positive outcome?
You really want to hear this one?
Sure.
It's Highway 30 and 6th Street.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
We had a lot of...
I think I got some maps somewhere.
There's some heads somewhere, too.
Yeah.
No, we... You know, the city can only do so much, and the DOT gave us a couple options, and neither one was acceptable. They tried to do it in years past. They didn't like it then. They brought the same thing back. I guess we're lucky that the DOT give us an option. Right now, when they get ready to bring it through, we won't have an option. They'll just do it the way they want. But anyway, it was the crowds were too big for the council chambers, so we got Gates Hall and we filled it up. There was over 200 people there. And they were all looking at me, you know, and yelling at me. And it was my fault, even though the DOT people were there. And they didn't like them either. So you got to be patient. Be respectful. You can think what you want, but as soon as you say it, you can't take it back. So you need to behave and be respectful. Take the time to listen. Council used it. I'd drive them nuts because if there was somebody that wanted to talk, they went up and talked. I didn't put a timer on them. So, but.
The Board of Supervisors has numerous responsibilities, and if appointed, what would you be most comfortable with right away, and what would probably entail like the steepest learning curve to get comfortable with?
Well, there's a lot that is the same with City Hall, with running meetings and Robert's Rules and, mm-hmm. and quorums and all of that is pretty similar. Some of your rules and building regulations and stuff like that. I'm sure you got more than 2 binders full of information.
The whole Iowa code.
For whoever.
Well, plus binders.
I had to dig into that a time or two. But I'm sure that the learning curve will be steep for anybody coming in here. Just to say that, not a problem, I got it. Well, you better hang on because it's going to be a lot of reading, a lot of meetings and what would you do and this kind of thing, and have you been through this before? I'm sure you got people here that's been here 30 years and more. They've probably seen this. It seems to come back every once in a while. About every 10 years it comes back to haunt you. But you're going to a lot of reading, a lot of listening.
Okay, I've told everybody this is the easiest question you'll get. What's your favorite thing about Story County?
Well, I've developed a lot of friends here. Now, with my positions over the years, over the 44 years, well, I was rarely in any one spot more than 3 or 4 years. I've lived here longer than I've lived anywhere. So I've developed a lot of friends, and it's an easy way. It's an easy life. It's, you know, you're not on what they call Jamaica time, you know, or anything like that, but people got a nice, easy way about them, and they're respectful as a rule.
And then you're finished. I just have one last question. What do you think is the Board of Supervisors' role in dealing with climate change, extreme weather?
Oh, well, you got to deal with it no matter what. Mm-hmm. So your equipment is keeping your equipment and stuff like that updated is essential. Burning, handling different chemicals, maybe doing a better job with buying vehicles. Maybe they could be a little more friendly as far as the atmosphere and stuff like that. Everybody can do something. Maybe look at solar. They're doing a lot of good things with solar and doing away with the wind generation and stuff like that in certain areas. And they're having a lot of success. I know there's a big one in Ames that is going to cover a lot of territory when it's all done. So, but maybe look at that as far as some of our satellites, maybe at parks and stuff like that, have a solar cell rather than worrying about running power to it. Just have a solar cell there that will run their equipment. There's all kinds of little things that you can do to help. Burn control and that kind of thing. So.
Do you have any questions for us you'd like?
No, they said, they told me that you guys were tired. I'm going to go back
it's
in.
It's not even 7:30 yet.
See, these two are pros. They brought coffee up with them.
Oh, this is water. I also brought tissues if you'd like them to.
No, I don't. And thank you for your time. I appreciate it. I know this is not your regular scheduled hours. Mm-hmm. To do this is a big deal.
It's nice to get out of our comfort zones every once in a while.
That's right. Thank you.
So, your last presenter.
I am.
We've heard from all the five finalists. It is 7:20. Let's take a 5-minute break. And if you would like, then we'll have public comments when we reconvene. If you'd like to talk and you haven't filled out a card yet, please see Rhonda at the desk here. There's blue cards that you need to fill out. And we'll just and public comments are limited to 2 minutes each, please.
Okay.
All right. Yes, you're good. It's 7:27, so in a thicker seat. All right, reconvening us at 7:27, and it's not a contest. But the last time the vacancy committee met, we finished at 8:46 p.m. So,
just throwing that out there.
Just throwing that out there. We've reached the point in the agenda to do public comment. I have so far 4 cards from the audience people filled out to speak tonight. We are asking that you limit your comments to 2 minutes. We have the timer, same timer we use on our finalists. If while the presentation or the comments are going on, you feel moved to comment yourself, just come up to the table here and fill out a blue card so that we can spell your name properly and have your address for our minutes. So, and then following people that are here in the audience speaking, we did receive some comments via email that were sent to all committee members that we'll go through quickly on those. So first to the mic, I have Ashton Ayers from Ames.
Hello. My name is Ashton Ayers. I'm a junior at Iowa State studying political science. Additionally, I'm an intelligence analyst in the Iowa Army National Guard, a member of the Ames Tenants Union, former political director of the College and Young Democrats of Iowa, and political director of the Iowa State College Democrats. I'm not implying endorsements of these organizations on my comments, but my experiences do inform my positions. I was fortunate to work as field director for Tracy Freeze's state senate campaign in rural Story County during the spring, the summer, and the fall of 2018. During the course of that campaign, I was fortunate to meet many of the candidates for public office at the local, county, and state level, including Josh Opperman and now Supervisor Linda Merkin in their campaign for the Board of Supervisors. I was proud to march with Josh and Linda in parades across Story County in Colo, Collins, Zierung, Nevada, Huxley, Slater, and many others as Josh presented his vision for our county to the voters at events and forums. His platform of improved affordable housing, access to mental health resources, and improved public transportation spoke to me, and it spoke to 17,000 other residents of our county that voted for him. Mr. Opperman has already received the support of 17,000 Story County residents in the November election when he worked for months to present his vision for our future, farmers, rural families, workers in Ames, and students like myself. It is my belief that the vacancy committee has a responsibility to the citizens to let our voices be heard. Thousands of voters in Story County have already spoken, and we voted for Josh Opperman to be our supervisor. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ashton.
Okay. Next, I have William Johns.
Hello. Can I go ahead?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. My name is William Johns. I'm a junior year student at ISU studying environmental science and sustainability. I believe the vacancy committee should appoint Josh Opperman to the Board of Supervisors because I agree with his politics and his positions on housing, mental health, and the environment. I know that he was not elected outright in November by students like me because, like me, they didn't know that two people could be elected to the Board of Supervisors. When voting in the 2018 election, it was clear to me most of the positions up for election were simply check one box and leave the rest blank. For a lot of people, it's not intuitive to even turn their ballot over, or if you're like me, it wasn't intuitive to check both Democratic boxes for an election I wasn't aware had multiple positions. If thousands of my fellow voters hadn't made the same mistakes that I made, he likely would have received a similar number of votes as Linda Merkin. Given Josh's Democratic alignment, I would have voted for him flat out had I known both he and Linda Merkin were able to be elected. Linda's name was simply listed first, and that is the sole reason I did not check Josh's name on my ballot. Since making that mistake and finding out about what I had done accidentally from a friend, I've learned a great deal about Josh and what he stands for and how he acts. Looking past his Democratic alignment alone, his stances on affordable housing, mental health availability, and protection of our natural resources and environment, they give me much more reason to be here today to correct my mistake that I made in November and ask that he please be appointed to the County Board of Supervisors today. Thank you.
Thank you, William.
Thanks,
William. Okay. Now I have Tiffany Meredith from Collins.
My name is Tiffany Meredith, and not only am I a resident of Story County, I've lived here for 35 years at this point in time, but I work here. So first and foremost, I'm here to tell you that as an executive board member on NAMI, I fully support Lisa Heddens. She is a phenomenal human being. Many people have had the opportunity to get to know her over the years through her campaigns, but I'm also up here to talk about another person who a lot of people haven't had the chance to get to know. I live my life under the philosophy of bring what light you can. And Latifa Fasil has taught me that time and time over the years. How to be kind, how to be compassionate, how to listen, how to care, how to bring the best out of every human being she encounters. So sitting on the Board of Supervisors, that's exactly what their role is. You all asked that question. It's to do the best for Story County. It's to bring people together. It's to collaborate, to work for the betterment of our future. Latifa, you have taught me that. You sat with me on mental health court when we tried to develop it. She was there time and time again encouraging me as a young attorney, even an intern, learning about things, how to do my best. She was there the day that I accidentally showed one of her daughters a really bad picture, and she didn't blame me. She was there and told me
how to. Did you bring that tonight?
I did not. Amira is still here, so I won't show it again, Amira. But she taught me that it was okay, that we have to be exposed to those things in our lives. She has not campaigned, but she is one of the most phenomenal human beings you will ever meet. She is exactly who we need on the Board of Supervisors, not a person who starts comments on Facebook about shooting officers. And I get that that's a controversial issue, but that was the first comment there. And that goes to my heart. I work with those officers, and there's not been an understanding reached in that situation. Or a person who sits and bashes a former supervisor in their application. That's not what we need anymore. We need compromise, we need compassion, we need trust, and we, most of all, need love for our community. And honestly, that's what both of them will bring. But I just know Latifa a little bit better.
Thank you. And I ate into your time a little bit, so thank you for still sticking to the 2 minutes. Have I been pronouncing your last name incorrectly this entire time?
Faisal.
I'm really sorry about that.
Okay.
Any of the other four? I hate doing that to people, and just because my last name is easy to pronounce doesn't mean I can't learn other people's last names. So, Faisal? Okay. All right. The last card I have right now is for D-Bats of Ames.
As you can tell, I'm an older retired citizen as I waddle up to the mic. Anyway, my vote would be for Lisa Heddens. I've seen her in our retirement community, talk with and work with some of our people there, and they love her. I tell you, they're so thrilled just to have her in the midst. I think she would be a wonderful addition to the Board of Supervisors. And I agree with everything the previous speaker said. She is a phenomenal human being. She's caring. She's interested in mental health. And I think she would be just like ready, coming out of the chute. And I have nothing prepared or read or anything else, but I just had to get up and say Lisa Heddens would be the greatest.
All right.
Thank you, Dee.
Would anyone else in the audience like to speak? We have received a number of, and all three of us received these. And if I missed one, please let me know. And these are in no particular order because I printed them out and then highlighted. No, I was just going to, do you want me to go by candidate?
I'll try to keep track. Go ahead. Just go ahead.
I can hand you my sheets and you can sort them and you can figure it out. So, again, these are in no particular order. I printed them, I highlighted them, but we received an email from Debbie Kep from Colo in support of Latifa Faisal and against Patrick Sheets. Anna Henderson, who is actually a Polk County resident, but works in Story County, submitted a comment that she does not support Patrick Sheets. Sue McCaskey, so maybe they are in order of, I don't know, Sue McCaskey from New Albany Township does not support Patrick Sheets. Annalisa Michelotti Hendon, I'm probably screwing that up too, from Ames, is in support of Josh Opperman. Annie Almquist from Ames is in support of Latifa Faisal. See, now I'm going to practice. Nora Ryan from Story City wrote in support of Lisa Heddens. Brett McLean from Ames, he supports with Lisa Heddens, but he would also support Lynn Lathrop. Kelly Samsenith-Hawley, currently of Kansas City, wrote in support of Latifa Faisal. John Holland from Ames wrote in support of Josh Opperman. Ryan Melton of Nevada wrote in support of Josh Opperman. Julie Erickson of Cambridge wrote in support of Latifa Faisal. Tom Brantseg of Ames wrote in support of Josh Opperman. And that's my list. Did I hit everybody? I know we received some maybe after I turned off my computer.
I also had...
And
did you say Annie?
Annie Almquist, yeah.
Tori Cooler wrote in support of Latifa Faisal.
Faisal.
And Lisa Heddens. Andrew Allen wrote in support of Lisa Heddens. And Amanda Mulaski wrote in support of Josh Opperman. And Sarah Henriksen wrote in support of Josh Opperman. That's what I have.
Yeah, my email box is a mess, so.
Two of those did come in after 5:15, okay. So that's why I carry this thing around.
Yeah. Ted's the most wired of the three of us, I'll have to say. You're making sure. While we're looking, is there anybody that would like to make public comment? Because once we close public comment is closed, so it's still open right now. Are we good? Anyone? Okay. So I'm going to close public comment. And before we move on to consideration, do we want to answer the question, what's your favorite thing in Story County?
Do you guys want to go first? Or?
I'll go first. My favorite simple pleasure in Story County, the thing that makes me smile every time I see it, is there's a sycamore tree on the northeast corner of University and Lincoln Way. Yeah. And I love that tree. And in every season, it's beautiful. And I just worry that, like, someday a straight line wind is going to take it out or something bad's going to happen. So, but that's just every time. And I drive to that intersection a lot because it's pretty close to where I live. But, yeah, it just makes me smile. So.
I'm still thinking.
So I obviously have to say my daughter and wife. Get that out of the way. But a close
that's
second.
That's a given.
A close second is in late summer, after the tassels have tasseled and you can smell the night air, if you've ever ridden on a four-wheeler or a bike in rural Story County, it can be chilly. Yes. And then as you pull up to a farmstead, you can feel the warmth of the buildings and the trees. And every time I do that out at my parents' farm, something about the warm night air around a farmstead and the smell of corn tasseling will always feel like Story County to me. So that's my favorite thing.
I'm going to say home. One word. It's okay. Home.
Okay.
Thank you.
I had forgotten about that. You put us on the spot, Lucy. Good job.
Okay. All right. So we've gone through the meat of the meeting. Now it's time to consider an appointment.
So I would just like to thank all five candidates for coming out tonight. Thank all the crowd for coming out tonight. It's great that we have people involved in Story County government. I loved your answers. Every one of you guys gave new things to consider, gave great information. So I just want to start by thank you. I'm sure that both of you guys want to do it as well. But thank you, everyone, for your time and your effort and your candidness and answering our questions and speaking on your behalf.
Yeah, I just would echo those, and I thought we had a great pool of candidates. I had a great time reading everybody's application, but also hearing from everybody tonight. I feel, just really happy that to live in Story County that we would have just amazing depth and breadth here on a Thursday night on a beautiful day in June to come out and all want to work for Story County. So thank you very much.
And I had to write it down, of course, so I don't forget anything. It's important for all five of you candidates to know and to feel like you're truly and seriously considered for this position. The decision is very tough. My respect really runs deep for all of you. So as an elected official, we're charged with serving all the citizens of Story County. and as a member of this vacancy committee, I feel we all three on this committee want what's best for Story County. So please remember that. We just have to decide who makes the deepest impression. So,
yeah, at this point in time, particular point in time. So, yeah.
And then the last thing I would like to say is there will be one person selected tonight. I would encourage all five of you to stay involved in the community. I think you've all got a lot to share. And as one of our speakers said, share your light. I think when you guys can share your light with the rest of us here at Story County, it is amazing. So,
with that being said, I would like to make a motion to appoint Lisa Heddens to the Board of Supervisors to fill the vacancy.
I will second that motion.
Any discussion? All right.
I would just reiterate what you said for the current time and the current thing, current situation.
Right, at a particular point in time. But yeah, five great candidates, and I would agree with Ted that I hope to see you all. Don't run against any of us, but please continue to serve. So, I'll call the question. Rasmussen?
Aye.
Herridge?
Aye.
Martin? Aye. All right.
Congratulations,
Lisa. Okay, announcements from the committee members.
I think I've said it. I really, really enjoyed reading the questions, the answers that you guys gave. I think that you guys are an outstanding group. Hope to see more from every one of you. Thank you. Thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you very much. I'd like to thank, we have lots of staff and department heads here tonight. So thank you for showing up. And I think all five of our finalists spoke about the quality of our employees, and the fact that you're here tonight on your own time speaks really well of all of us. So thank you very much. So, just some housekeeping. The appointment is actually effective tonight, and that's what the certificate will say. The swearing in will take place 9 a.m. on Tuesday, June 18th, in this room. So, and then immediately following is the 10 a.m. board meeting. So, and then
hit the ground running.
Yes. No breathing space, really.
Thank you all for being patient too while we work through this process. So,
yes, we hope never to do this again.
I would like to thank you too for great leadership in the county and on this committee. It's my first time, and hopefully it will be my last time. So thanks, guys.
Yeah. So we got a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
All right. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.